And the horn sounds. That's it for this one. A 5-0 Panthers win here in Game 2 of the Eastern Conference Final. The Panthers will head home up 2-0 in this best-of-7 series. That is 6 career playoff shutouts for Sergei Bobrovsky. Turned away all 17 Kane shots tonight. 5-0, the Panthers take Game 2.
Wow. As good as they are, man, I didn't expect this in Eastern Conference Finals in the first 2 games on the road. But it is official ass-kicking so far, and now coming home for games 3 and 4. Saturday and Monday at Amaranth Bank, better known as Jerry's House these days. Everything's good, man. You put your name on the building, it's good. The bank is good, and the team is really good. It's a hell of a combination going on right now with them. And from Vinny Viola, the owner, making it free. He wasn't here to be cheap, wanting to spend whatever we need. I just want to win. Bill Zito, Paul Maurice, and right down to the core of players that they've signed and what they add. It's just incredible. And playing the system has just been unbelievable. 4 power play goals in 2 games now after that was the one thing. They were penalty killers, and they haven't been able to do it so far. Boy, they're nothing's working right now. Nothing is working for Carolina, including being down 3-0 after the first period last night. So 14 straight Eastern Conference losses. That'll stick in your brain for a while for some of those guys been around for that. Holy smokes. And by the way, we know firsthand when you have a number that continues to grow, all people do is talk more and more about it. It doesn't go away. Does not go away. Hey, we've got Omar Kelly with us. All Day Dan Day been with us as well, and appreciate him being in as Hollywood. Woody will be back on Monday taking care of some stuff right now. And we got Mike Florio going to join us coming up here in a few minutes. We'll have him and talk talk about everything going on in the league, by the way. It's been a crazy week.
Tush push.
Were you surprised?
I was absolutely surprised.
I was, too. I thought it was going to get – usually commissioner wants, commissioner gets.
Yep. I didn't understand it.
Mike didn't back down. Mike McDaniel did not change for what he said months ago. Came back, and we found out the team voted in favor of keeping the tush, push, push, tush.
Yeah, it didn't make any sense to me, but obviously they wanted to get rid of it. But
how bad a look is it, though, just from this standpoint? And you don't have to like it.
I love the look from this standpoint. It shows that the commissioner isn't pushing people around. And I never understood that. He worked for you, not the other way around.
Well, he gave his opinion on how he felt about the play, and he tried to give evidence, and he got his medical director to come in and say it could be a dangerous play down the road for the neck injury and all that stuff. But I guess the owner stood up and just went crazy at the other owners. We'll talk to Mike Florio about this, but it sounded like he was like, look it, 32 teams, man. We all play by the same rules. We just happen to be real good at it. Now you want to take it away from us. By the way, are they unbelievable? They're almost automatic. You get them down on the 2 or 3 yard line, first and goal at the 2, it's automatic. They're going to score.
It does feel like a little cheat code, but you know how you stop it? You stop it.
Well, you get a whole bunch of 300-pound strong guys at the point of attack that you can't push off the ball. By the way, one exciting thing for this Miami Dolphins team, I know it sounds like it's been a lot of negativity. I love the size of the 3 defensive tackles they got.
Yeah.
Big, big, and bigger. The lightest guys.
Literally bigger.
320, 330, 340. I don't even know what Kenneth Grant's going to play at. They got him listed 335 to 340.
Yeah. It's funny because Jordan Phillips is the smallest of the 3 when
right.
You give him the eyeball test. But biggers?
That's a big man.
That's a big man.
6'6", 320 pounds.
Yeah.
And I'm curious
to see. That 320 is a very conservative weight listing.
3 defensive tackles. Did that surprise you in the draft? 3? I know you can say one's a nose tackle, one's going to play outside.
No. I think they were all college nose tackles. Now, the one thing that their position coach said was they were college nose tackles because either their team didn't have anybody else to play it, somebody saw a vision for them and sort of pigeonholed them into it, or, you know, this is just a situation where, you know, you're the best man for this role. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they believe that they're limited to being nose tackles moving forward.
Yeah.
And he talked about always playing
the
best
player. I tried to tell you that before. Don't go by what the title was when they – what the position they put. That yeah. They weren't going to have all those guys lining up behind each other. They're going to be
– No. They're going to share. They're going to share. I think Kenneth and Jordan are rotational players. Yeah. Benito is probably going to serve as the backup to – I mean, not Benito. Zeke Biggers is probably going to serve
curious,
as the backup.
Benito Jones on the team, huh?
Yes, he is.
He is. I thought so. Yeah, he's
one of those guys who –
through the years.
I don't think he had a bad year, you know. Just there's some limitations there.
All right. Hey, listen, we've got – we're going to spend a little extra time with Mike Flores, so we're going to get all caught up here. With you, as we've got a lot of stuff, man. Want to wish everybody out there a real happy Memorial Day weekend. Hopefully you don't have any crazy ass family members coming in trying to you want to get some. That's got to be an all-timer, man. That one is gonna wait till I tell some of my guys that
I never had.
You want to get some? What the hell's that mean?
Never had a friend offer me some.
Get some? It's your freaking girlfriend. I thought he meant drugs at first. I thought he wanted to no, I don't want to smoke pot.
Yeah, that's logical. Logical to think it was drugs.
Anyway, yeah. Mike Florio from ProFootballTalk.com and a sport that never friggin' sleeps. As we say good morning to Mike. And Mike, I got to start with a crazy one. I can't see the Buffalo Bills really wanting to do Hard Knocks. Am I missing something or were they forced to do it?
Well, the NFL has expanded dramatically and somewhat quietly in recent years the standards for when you can be tapped on the shoulder and told you're going to do Hard Knocks. And there have been teams in recent years that didn't really want it. Remember, the Jets didn't want to do it.
That's right.
And I think that the league collectively has accepted the fact that sometimes you're going to have some individual resistance. But too bad. At some point, you're going to draw the short straw. And you have to do it. And I feel like things are moving in that direction where teams no longer are going to fight it. They let them say no to off-season Hard Knocks, and I don't think anybody's ever going to say yes after the Giants debacle from last year.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, God. Hey, yeah.
So hold on. How many Hard Knocks we do? We do training camp. We do in-season, the division, which I actually like. I thought that was very interesting and refreshing. And then we do are we still doing off-season Hard Knocks?
Well, if they can get somebody to do it. Remember, they were going to do North Carolina, and it was right up to the brink of a decision. It was the Friday of the scouting combine. They were going to announce the deal. There were multiple reports that it was happening, and between Friday and Monday it got derailed, and The Athletic has done some great reporting on the role of Bill Belichick's 24-year-old girlfriend, publicist, handler, creative mill, idea muse, something like that. I don't know. I defer to the acknowledgement section of his book. But she reportedly blew the whole thing up. And there was a report in the New York Times, a very deep dive this week in the New York Times, by one of their more respected reporters, that she wanted final say over the content. She wanted partial ownership
of
the final product. So that... it's consistent with everything I heard back to when this all happened. She blew this up. She wanted too much. She flexed her muscles too strongly, and they just said, this isn't worth it. This is going to be a nightmare having to deal with her.
Mike, I got to tell you, man, we've seen Belichick up close here for 20-something years and do your job and get rid of, I don't want anything to mess up the chemistry and no drama around here and take care of your business, and then to see him like this is just incredible. This power she has over him is, and it's obvious, I don't think anybody would disagree, even his former players, it's just one of the weirdest off-season stories we've ever had.
Off-season?
Ever.
That's a weirdest lifetime story.
Ever.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been doing this 25 years, and this is up in the top three. It is, because he's the last guy you would expect this from.
Right.
Because he's the ultimate no-distraction head coach. And he's the distraction. And now the stuff they're doing from a PR standpoint to try to clean up the mess after the fact, I mean, some of the stuff he's saying, I just flat out reject it as not accurate and saying what needs to be said to try to make a good situation or a bad situation into a good situation. And the best comment I've seen on this came from Cam Newton, who played for the Patriots for a while.
Yeah.
He said, you can't name any player on the North Carolina team other than Jordan Hudson.
Yes, right? Yeah. I don't even recognize any kids from South Florida. You're exactly right. I saw he's got a good budget and everything else with a chance to be successful if we can ever get past his girlfriend.
He sold out season tickets. And you know, here's the thing: as of June 1, his buyout drops from $10 million to $1 million. Now that's his buyout. The team would owe him obviously the full balance of his 5-year, $50 million salary if they would move on. But as of June 1, he acquires more power in this behind the scenes back and forth. What's she allowed to do? What's she not allowed to do? And he could always say to them, hey, you know what? If you push me too hard, I'll write you a check for $1 million and I'll get the hell out of here. And I think that changes the dynamics in a very significant way. And it's only, what, 9 days away?
Yeah. Hey, we were both, Omar and I were really surprised at the tush push. I thought it was history once the commissioner had time to get to the owners. And it's back. Did that surprise you?
I was stunned that the proposal that the league instigated the Packers to make, and that is fact. The Packers didn't decide sitting around Lambeau Field, Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst and Mark Murphy, the brain trust. They didn't say, what are we going to do to combat this play the Eagles have? I know. Let's propose a rule to get rid of it. No, the league came to them and pushed them to do it, and they did it. They were used by the league. They took one for the team, and now they're the ones who are associated with. The league wanted this. I believe what happened. I believe the commissioner was sitting in his basement on his leather couch with the bowl of M&Ms watching the NFC Championship between the Commanders and the Eagles. And that sequence where the Commanders were jumping offside repeatedly, I think he saw that and he said, we can't have this. Play's got to go. Even though it's not the Eagles' fault, it was the Commanders coming up with a way to try to stop it that entailed delaying the game and almost awarding a touchdown to the Eagles because of it. I think that was the tipping point. That was the straw that broke the camel's back, and the commissioner said, we got to get rid of it. I think this proposal, along with the playoff reseeding that was put on the table by the Lions, both go all the way up to Goodell, and they use teams to try to conceal that.
Hey, while you're talking about the playoff seeds too, I wasn't sure. I thought they'd give them a home game for sure, but I thought they might reseed it to kind of keep everybody happy. And to see the Lions, I was curious why, as you just said, the Lions just pulled it up and said, hey, we're taking it off the table. They just didn't feel they had enough votes, and that thing was going to make everybody look bad.
Yeah, that's the way you save face. In March, if you don't think there's enough votes for your proposal, you table it to May. In May, if there's not enough votes for your proposal, you withdraw it. That's what makes the tush push outcome so stunning. I think when it was time to go in to the final session and cast the votes, nobody knew if they were going to get to 24. And really, 22 out of 32 teams want to get rid of it. That's more than two-thirds of the league. The only reason it survives is because the NFL's constitution requires a 75% supermajority, not a 66.7% supermajority. If it was 66.7 and some organizations use a two-third supermajority, not three-fourths, if it's two-thirds, it's gone. But with the Lions, they knew they weren't going to come close. And that was one the commissioner wanted, not because of equity or fairness, where you've got a division champion that's 7-10 hosting a wild card team that was 12-5. This is all about, and I don't know that I follow the logic, but this is about trying to make the Week 18 games more compelling by not having teams settled in both to their playoff berth and their playoff spot on that 1-7 tree. You know, this past year, Week 18, the Sunday afternoon games, they stunk. They stunk.
Yeah.
The Sunday night game, Vikings-Lions, that was great. Saturday had some drama. But the Sunday 1 o'clock and 4:25 games, they had nothing. And the commissioner thinks if you eliminate another reason for teams to rest their starters in Week 18, some of those games will be more compelling.
Speaking of compelling, Aaron Rodgers went on the Joe Rogan show. I read that you sat and listened to all 3 hours of it. I know it's your job, but how difficult was that, number one? And are you surprised that the Steelers are still going to wait on Rodgers to make a decision?
Well, you know, for every player, there's the balance between what he brings to the table and any other issues that may undermine the broader effort to build a team. And I don't know anything about the Steelers locker room from the standpoint of whether or not they're going to accept or reject someone like Rodgers. He can throw a football like few others can. It makes a sound when it whizzes by your helmet that you've never heard before. If he still has that, that goes a long way toward tolerating a lot of the things about Aaron Rodgers. And there was no new revelation about how he is, that perpetual victim mentality that he has. He can't let COVID go. He wants an apology. I don't know from whom. He wants people to be held accountable. He's convinced that everything he believed about the vaccines is 100% right, and anyone who was pro-vaccine is 100% wrong, and there's corruption, and there's lying, and everything's a conspiracy theory, and it is exhausting. Look, I believe there are situations where people actively try to conceal the truth. I don't believe that every single thing that happens is part of some great cover-up. I don't believe aliens live in the ocean. I don't believe the pyramids were built by an ancient alien civilization. I mean, they went on and on. It is terrifying when you listen to some of the stuff he believes. And the thing that also bothered me, and hey, I don't care about people's political beliefs. You can believe what you want to believe. But man, when he talks about Joe Biden, there's just like a hatred and a meanness. And he's like a grade school bully making fun of, you know, the weak kid in class. There's a glee to it. Like, I was troubled by a lot of it. And my point, I said this today on our show, I just think that somebody in the Steelers organization needs to watch it and listen to it and ask themselves, is this who we want in our locker room? Is this who we want on the team? If you do, that's fine. But is this the guy we want influencing our players? Is this the guy we want? And we've heard the stories over the years. Deshaun Kizer said he asked him about whether or not he believes 9/11 happened. CNN reported last year that at the 2013 Kentucky Derby, Rodgers was spreading deranged conspiracy theories about the Sandy Hook shooting. You want this guy to be the center of your universe. You want this guy to influence your organization. If you do, that's fine. But I think that's part of the entire equation that the Steelers need to consider. And throwing the football the way he does goes a long way toward dealing with it. But they keep waiting and they keep waiting. And Art Rooney said yesterday they'll wait a little while longer. I wonder at what point they decide we've waited long enough.
Hey, Mike, just to follow up, I don't know. And listen, we got our own problems down here, but I don't know how good the Steelers are. Even with them, if he goes there and it doesn't go well with all the stuff, that fan base is going to be real difficult on him if he doesn't come in and play really well and win games. It's a tough boat to come into now. It's not like all of a sudden he's making Pittsburgh Steeler fans all excited about what he's saying right now. Do you agree?
Hey, guys, I've lived in and around Pittsburgh within 100 miles. I'm standing 100 miles from the Golden Triangle right now, my entire life. And I've never seen the Steelers behave the way they're behaving this year. The DK Metcalf trade and contract, they've never done anything like that before. $30 million a year to a guy that's never played for the team before? They've never done that. With no quarterback to get him the ball? But bending a knee and holding out the ring for Aaron Rodgers and assuming that position for 2 months and still on one knee waiting for Aaron Rodgers? That's unbecoming to the image that people have of the Steelers. The Steelers fans have been upset about that. That's not what we do. Like Cam Hayward said, you either want to be a Steeler or you don't. I think there's a desperation there for them to get to the playoffs and win a playoff game. They haven't won a playoff game since Kansas City divisional round in early 2017 to cap the 2016 season. That's it. And I think they want to get back and they want to win. And Aaron Rodgers, the player, makes them better because look at what they've had at quarterback since Ben Roethlisberger retired. You put a good quarterback into that team and you've got DK Metcalf, and if Arthur Smith, the offensive coordinator, can whip up the right plays, that's great. But, you know, if it fails, it is going to be a disaster. And it's especially going to stick to Rodgers because one of the reasons he's looking for a team where he can win, do you really want the last chapter of your career to be 5-12?
Yeah.
Where you started 17 games for the New York Jets? I don't think so.
You know, it's funny. You were right about one thing. Being down on the field the day that he came down here before the broadcast, I said, I want to go down and see him. I've heard he's lost this. You're right about one thing. He can still zip it, man. Everybody wants to debate that, and he can't throw. I go, if you don't like him, I get it. But physically, Mike, the things you do say about him, you were right. He can throw it off his back foot, front foot, looking the other way. He's got ridiculous talent. So, to your point,
two things can be true. He can be a ridiculously talented, all-time great talent. And on the other hand, and I know I can't say the two words together, but I can say ass, and then I can wait a few words, and then I can say hole. He can be that too.
hey, Mike.
He's in the Hall of Fame on that one, too.
I was
going
to go ass clown for you because they got mad at me always saying asshole on this show. And I go, all right, ass clown.
Go.
Yeah.
There we go.
Oh, Mike. Mike, thank you so much.
I wasted my effort coming up with a way to say it. Let it fly, baby.
All right. Mike, thank you, man. You have a great memorial.
Take
care.
Have a great weekend.
All right.